Hello, it is us again. It is the 27th episode of season 4 in the never-ending season of Blossom. This is Blossom Buddies. This episode is called Last Tango. We got 30 minutes on the clock, Craig.
We should probably talk about Blossom. Last episode, we went on some tangents and ran out of time, which might happen again.
I loved last week's episode a lot.
It was good. You didn't like this episode much. I liked it. I mean, I have some criticisms. But first off, so the episode's called Last Tango, and they never explicitly say it, but it's the prom episode because we're almost at the end of the season.
It's the obligatory teen sitcom prom episode, yeah. But it kind of falls on its face the way that like the gun episode fell on its face, where there's too much going on, so you never really.
There's definitely too much going on. They tried to give everyone something to do, and they shouldn't have. When they're walking into the prom, there's a sign that says Last Tango. So like Last Tango is the theme of the prom. But we start the episode out and Nick is teaching Vinny how to tango because Vinny wants to dance old-fashioned style for Blossom. He wants to surprise her. He wants Blossom to have a nice prom. So he's learning how to do the tango among other dances with Nick.
Yeah, this episode is directed by Peter Baldwin, written by Jonathan Schmock. I just want to get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. We've talked about those guys before. The thing that was great about this opening credits is it was both a classic cold open that had a punchline that isn't brought back later, but it does that thing where it's part of the story of the whole episode.
Yes, it's not a throwaway.
Yeah, so Joey comes in, we find out he's going solo, yeah. And then Buzz is there, he answers the phone.
But hold up, this is also where, right off the bat, this episode gets extremely homophobic.
Is it? Oh yeah, because yeah,
Vinny and Nick are dancing. And that's hilarious. It's just hilarious to the audience. Before anyone even says anything, we just see Nick and Vinny dancing, and the audience is cracking the fuck up. Because that's hilarious. And then
homophobia aside, though, it is funny to see, like, it is funny to
the
see
tangos,
Nick,
yeah,
Nick and Vinny tango dancing
because they're cheek to cheek and.
But Joey's reaction is where the homophobia comes in.
Yeah, that's where it goes
like,
right off.
Yuck! He's like icky, gross.
Like, yeah, he's like, why? So I can scream myself to death.
Yeah,
something like that.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. So Joey's going.
I also
solo.
Noted that Vinny looked quite tanned because he's been missing for an episode or two.
He was the main character of that Seven Deadly Sins episode.
Yeah, that's true. But he did look quite tanned, I found.
And we also, you know, has he started on 90210 at this point?
He must have.
Because if he's super tanned, he's probably, you know, he's got to look nice and tanned.
I'm sure he's signed to 90210 because, spoiler alert, he's not in next season. Spoiler alert.
Holy shit. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, then I probably shouldn't have done that. But sure. How many listeners do we have? Fuck. Like, well, sorry, devoted listeners. I just ruined
devoted listener.
The story arc.
We don't know how.
I would strangle Buzz with a telephone wire, by the way.
My buzzkill doesn't come till much later.
My buzzkills, because he's so rare to show up in episodes, my buzzkill comes as soon as I see him on screen. I'm like, whatever he's doing on screen, that's my buzzkill. So he comes in. Yeah, so this episode, the first time we see Buzz, he comes in with the telephone. I'm like, well, I'd grab that telephone cable and strangle him. Because in my brain, I'm just like, I'm going to kill him ASAP.
Okay. So it's the person on the phone is Joey's principal, and then the gag is Joey's like, I haven't even been there. So I thought this was going to be a subplot about Joey skipping school, but they just...
Nope. That was just a throwaway. Then we get opening credits, and then
I just got scared find by out my own shadow. I'm going to see that later and be like, what the fuck?
You're going to be like, winter's another 6 weeks.
I'm a groundhog. Sonic the Groundhog. I'm stupid the Groundhog.
Sonic the Groundhog. Sonic the Groundhog is now on Amazon Prime, so I've not seen it. I know it was like the top grossing movie of last year or something.
Because there were four movies last year, but it was fine. My 1 second review of Sonic the Hedgehog is it's a movie that I watched and it's fine.
And there's going to be a sequel because there's leaks of how Knuckles is going to look.
But did you see the production footage? People are the way that they do the CGI bits for those scenes is they have puppets made of, like, hilariously plastic puppets of Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles.
Yeah.
That I've seen shots of, like, the middle of the street. There's going to be a scene where, like, the road gets, like, blown up or something. Mm-hmm. And on top of the road that's blown up, like, it's on an incline like this. It's just the three puppets are up there. And the one that I saw, Tails or Knuckles is missing everything from his neck down. So I don't know if he goes, like, Super Saiyan. I don't know if he's going to go into, like, that Sonic the Hedgehog Super Saiyan mode or whatever. I think it's going to be.
Are they only... or they only need the head so that other actors can talk to it. Like, I saw pre-production or, like, whatever production footage from, like, Game of Thrones.
I've
when what's her name too. Was talking to the dragon. It's just Amelia like a Clark guy with is, a yeah. green sock puppet or whatever.
Yeah, because it looked like you have to, like, Jar Jar Binks was like Jar Jar Binks actor, but with a Jar Jar Binks head on top of his head. Yeah. For the Phantom Menace.
Do you ever read that? I think it's on Reddit. Of course it's on Reddit. The, like, the fan theory about Jar Jar Binks
being a Jedi.
Yeah. Well, no, being a Sith.
Or yeah, but his power is that, like, his Sith power is that he fucking just, like, meddles with everything but pretends to be an idiot.
Yeah.
But he's always meddling with everything.
Yeah, but did you read, like, the full, like, fucking 10-page thing? Like, it makes sense. It all holds up, I think. I mean, I didn't go back and watch those god-awful movies again to agree with that person specifically, but it all made a lot of fucking sense.
Theories are mostly nonsense, though. Unless the director and writer of the movie comes out and says, like, that's why I like that Wired.com does that, like, this director, like, the Jordan Peele did one for Get Out. He's like, he reads your fan theories, and he basically just is like, none of this is no.
Yeah,
but Lost he also explains things. Lost mm-hmm. Ones has Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cruise done one for Lost?
I have no idea. I didn't know Wired did that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I gotta. If you have a link, send it to me. Otherwise, I'll be Googling later tonight. But back into the Blossom episode, we find out that Six has cut a deal. We're in Blossom's room, I guess. They're getting ready.
Yeah.
And we find out that Six has cut a deal with the principal to take the, I guess, the exchange student, the Cuban exchange student.
Six has had a marquee year at her school.
Okay, I've just discovered this right now. Hold on. So Six, we'll get into the
politics.
The existence of Six shortly, but... Well, the politics is what I want to get into, because we find out. So Six's prom date, Rolando. So she agreed to take him to the prom so she would get lesson. Sorry?
Raimundo.
Oh, I thought
his name is Raimundo Salazar, but you said Rolando.
I thought it was Rolando.
No, it's Raimundo.
Okay.
Raimundo.
But she made a deal with the principal to take him to prom so she would have less detention time. Like, she cut a deal. Like, it's Law and Order, and she's cutting a deal with the assistant DA.
Yeah.
But we find out later. So, like, later he shows up to pick Six up, and he brings, like, the finest box of Cuban cigars as, like, a thank you gift to Blossom's dad for some reason. But why would there be a Cuban exchange student?
He's Bolivian.
Oh, he's Bolivian. Okay, so they're not Cuban cigars.
They're Cubanos, but we find out his dad is a Bolivian diplomat.
He's just a mover and shaker.
Oh, okay. So he was able to get Cuban cigars in America, which I don't... Are they just illegal? This is something I've always wondered. Help me shine some light on this. Are Cuban cigars just illegal in the States because they're Cuban, and Cuban in the States only...
Friends. Cuban cigars are fine in Canada.
Right. Okay. So it's because Cuba and the United States were at odds until, like, Obama
recently. Yeah, basically. Exactly. Yeah, I think Cuban cigars are fine in the States now. I might be wrong, but yeah, in the 90s they definitely weren't. There was some Seinfeld story arcs about Kramer getting Cubans.
That's what I'm getting to, and in this episode it happens too. Why do they always depict people smoking Cuban cigars like they become wizened, not unlike being stoned? Very, very retrospective. Is it?
I think it's more. It's that not that
Cuban
the
cigars have weed in them.
No, I don't.
It's definitely think not so. That, right?
No, it's definitely not that. I think it's more like they're such fine cigars that, like, you have to be refined.
You have to, like, while you're smoking really them. Reflect like, yeah. on everything.
It'd be like it would be the same thing. You could replace that stereotype with, like, you know, a $50 glass of scotch. Like, you would just have the same, you would take on the same air of wisdom of like,
you don't get, you don't get drunk off, you know, a 70 year aged bottle of scotch. You enjoy little bits of it slowly over time.
Yeah. Yeah. You're distinguished with it. You're not drinking a bottle of Jack.
No, that's, you get fucked up. You just get trashed up and messed up and drunk.
Yep.
So we've gotten a little ahead of ourselves, but I want to go back to Six had a marquee year. She went to rehab. She skipped school constantly. So she's got this.
Yeah. She dated a pedophile. But she misses still, according to the continuum that we've been watching.
She had some drinking issues. So yes, her head teacher, her principal, is like, if you take out this social outcast to prom because his dad is a diplomat, I'll hook you up. Half of those detention days are gone. And I liken that to borderline prostitution, at least prostitution adjacent.
It's I would say at best it's, or at worst is prostitution adjacent, because no one's saying sleep with it. I mean, it is prom, and there's the predisposed assumption that everyone sleeps together after
prom.
Or a
regular dance, or just a date scenario, I'd be fine.
Fair enough.
But the implication about prime on a teen sitcom is always there's sex at the end of the night.
Not this one, though. They never even mentioned it. They never really mentioned Six. We see Six really hitting on people later in the episode.
That's true. And then there's a very seductive...
They never really mention sex in the episode, I think. Do they?
No. Because what should have happened is the storyline should have been Blossom and Vinny being like, it's prom night, do we lose our virginity?
Are we going to do it? Like Fresh Prince? I'm sure there was a prom episode of Fresh Prince and sex was a thing in that episode for sure.
Also, this isn't Blossom's prom.
Prom. It's Vinny's.
We still have another
Vinny
prom.
Vinny and Joey's.
I think next season, we're going to have the sex thing.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
maybe I've looked ahead at the IMDb descriptions of all next season. I'm not sure that we do.
Well, don't, it goes a different direction because I don't remember season 5. I'm still in this shit I remember from when I was a kid. I do not remember season 5.
Season 5's crazy. I'm very excited for next season. Awesome. Based on the IMDb descriptions of the episodes. So we find out, Joey's going to the same prom and Tony's talking to him about it. And Tony brings up Melanie, the girl that Joey lost his virginity to. And Joey's just like, yeah, that kind of went weird after like I lost my virginity to her. So I'm just going stag. So that's Joey's plan. Then we find out that Nick is going to be chaperoning the prom because some teacher called in sick or something.
Yeah, but even before that, we get a little bit of Tony trying to recall his prom, but he's messed up that he remembers, like, it was a Under the Sea theme, and he's like, I remember, like, Poseidon and
I missed the Under the Sea theme, because Tony was just like, I can't remember what I'm remembering is parts of prom or the Poseidon adventure. We were upside down and very wet.
That, I think, was the sex bit. That's him... his experience with prom, of course, being he lost his virginity or something, but he was messed up in the
high school swimming pool, maybe.
Unless
he really got her that wet.
Yeah. So then we get a commercial break, I think, and it's back to the living room, but it's nighttime and everybody's dressed up and ready to go.
Yeah, and Blossom comes downstairs and her hair, I know we don't really comment on fashion too much on this show.
No, but
it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
She did this weird thing where she like slicked back the top and like floofed out the bottom, which was,
it was almost,
I kind of had a weird flashback of being in junior high and high school and girls would do that, but not for like to dress up.
No, it had a very mullety feel to it, but like if it was a kind of a fancy mullet.
No, but Six looked great. Like she had
Six
like
great.
She had
I wrote like down a blowout. Two like lines later, Six of hair is great.
You know, she had a good look. I didn't understand what Blossom was going for. Her hair.
The rest of Blossom looked great. Like her
dress was fantastic. She's pulling it off. Both of the girls were pulling it off.
And I was just like, I guess this has to be a fashion trend from 1994. But it looks so terrible. Yeah, like you said, the top was extremely slick back with like a wet look. And then the back of her hair was like curled, like tight curls hanging out in like a fan. Brutal. It was absolutely brutal. Jason's going to get another beer, so I'll mention that Raimondo shows up Raimondo. With giant flowers for Six. So Raimondo went next door to Six's house and was told that, you know, Six is over here at Blossom's house. So he's got giant flowers for Six and a box of fine Cuban cigars for Nick.
You gotta say, I immediately felt bad for Raimondo because he wasn't a bad looking guy. He didn't even have the only stereotypical nerd thing about him was his glasses were thick and he had a little bit of tape on the side, and that was it. His hairstyle, like by today's standards, he has the modern Andrew Garfield hairstyle.
Oh, it's fine. We find out very shortly. It's a whole not 10 things I hate about you. What's the one where Freddie Prinze Jr. That. She's all that. Yeah. We're just like, I mean, we just take his glasses off later and he's a stone cold soap opera fox.
And his suit was fucking tight, dude. That suit, the white with the red shirt and the black tie, I fucking love that look. Why is this a fact? Because it's prom. That's why we're talking fashion. Six looked like Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
Without the assets to back it up, but she's supposed to be 17 years old. So that's fine. She's pulling that off, though. Gotta say. She's 18 in real life at this point. She pulled it off. I can say that. She's pulling it off.
She's looking good. Six.
There's a reason why when I was 14, no, when I was, this shit would have come out when I was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I had a crush on Six. She was an adult on television acting like a teenager on a kid's show for kids, which I was.
Yep. Yeah, we don't need to justify it.
Justify it, Craig.
We get to prom and Joey is talking to Vinny.
We missed the other homophobic moment. But when Blossom comes downstairs, she says that Vinny and Nick look like a gay wedding cake topper.
Oh yeah.
And during that scene, when Vinny first comes to the door, this isn't homophobic, but I wrote Nick and Vinny joke around. I like when they joke around, and we find out that Nick is going to be the chaperone when Vinny's like, why are you dressed in a tux? Am I showing up to some sort of final exam for my tangle lesson? And that's when he's like, nah, I'm going to be the chaperone with Carol tonight, which they blow it. They're the worst chaperones
I've ever seen. I think that's the exact wording of my note a bit later. Nick and Carol are bad chaperones. Yes, is my note. So, 7 or 8 lines down.
And we covered Raimondo giving the cigars. His dad is a Bolivian diplomat. He also gives Nick a card. He's like, if you ever need to talk to the diplomat of Bolivia, here you go. Here's his card. Raimondo is a great character, I think. He's not the stereotypical. He's not like the nerd character in the first or second season. I liked everything about him.
Yeah, I would love to see more Raimondo. Of course, we know we're not going to. He was
and Six disses him immediately. Six is like, what are these flowers?
Oh my god. Yeah, we're showing up to prom now, or we're about to show up to prom and just see how terrible Six is.
She's already bailed on him.
Yeah. They've just shown up and she's bailed on. Like, they get to prom. Sorry, first off, Joey's talking to Vinny before like the girls show up. Joey's talking to Vinny. I just wrote down Joey says, you and your monotonous relationship.
You got to get out of that monotonous relationship. And Vinny's like, okay, well, first of all, that's your sister I'm talking about.
We come back to the living room at this point, and there's Nick and Buzz with the cigars and
Tony and Buzz. We get Tony a series Sorry, of yeah. really dumb. One of them is literally a shot. This one subplot line. Is the dumbest thing
it's
ever.
The worst.
This is why happened. I asked why in sitcoms they do this with cigars specifically. But what happens here is Buzz peer pressures Tony into smoking a cigar.
I wrote down that Buzz is a cigar pusher.
Yeah.
So he's like, everybody's doing it.
And at the end of the scene, Tony says, okay, I'll try it, but just this once.
Yeah.
Whoa deja vu.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nick and Carol, we're back at the prom. Nick and Carol are dancing.
Well, cut back to prom and Six has ditched her date. Like, the girls have shown up, and Vinny and Blossom are like, where's your date? And she's like, I don't know. I guess I'll find him later.
I'm going to go bang 3 dudes.
Yeah.
So Nick and Carol are dancing, and Carol's like, we're the chaperones. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And Nick is like, ha, we're the chaperones. And
then she's like, spank me, daddy.
Do whatever the fuck we want. Yeah. Dagger me on the dance floor, grandpa. I'll take out my massive mommy milkers for you. And sorry I said that. I'm so sorry. I was just it's trying
very
to
make... funny, but I think you're blowing out of proportion what they did, which I didn't think would be possible because they were extremely bad chaperones.
No, the slow dance they did was fine, but like towards the end of that, before they dance off screen,
oh, they end up
they were doing like a weird gyration move to each other.
There's some
gyration. Yes, also that, but we'll get to that. So the principal comes up to Blossom and she's like, "Ah, you fancy yourself the liker of a tiger.
You like the tigers.
You like the tigers.
You like tigers, eh? Tigers, like Princeton Blossom's tigers, like, eh?
Because you're talking about
your boyfriend got accepted to Princeton and they're the tiger, so he's a tiger now.
It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would he tell me that?"
So Vinny's Blossom's of course Princeton. She's pissed. Princeton. Yeah, she's pissed at Vinny because
pissed
he got
like
accepted
Princeton,
to Princeton.
That he's accepted to Princeton.
And he didn't tell her, and then they tango. And then six.
And they do that double talk total thing where they're talking about
two different things.
But it works.
Yeah, she's like, When were you gonna tell me? He's like, or when did you find out? And he's like, I don't know, a couple days ago. Your dad was helping me. And yeah. It wasn't. There have been several very good examples of that throughout Blossom, but this wasn't one of the.
No, but this was almost better in a way because they just get to it.
Yeah, they get to the point.
It's not drawn out like it is when Joey and Blossom talk to each other sometimes.
For 5 minutes.
Where yeah, she's like, "My dad helped you get into Princeton." He's like, "Princeton? I learned how to tango."
Yeah.
Anyway, six disses Raimundo again. I wrote down. I don't remember what specifically happened.
I don't know if this was when she was just literally grinding up and flirting with three guys.
Could have been.
Or is this just when the principal says, oh no, this is when the principal, like six walks by and he's like, "Where's your date?" And she was like, "Oh, I was just looking for him." After like at this point, like, sure, I get maybe showing up and forgetting that you're actually there, supposed to be someone's date. Your friends say something to you and it, you know, kicks in your memory and you're good for the rest of the night. That's what a normal person might do if they slipped up at the beginning. But she just like deliberately refuses to hang out with the guy all night.
And then deliberately goes and talks to all the other stag dates, probably in her grade that are just like, or even in a grade later. There's probably not many people from grade 11.
Yeah, probably a grade later for the
so
most
she's
part.
She's just trying to mack on these weirdos. So,
well, yeah, because no one would show up. No one could show up stag that wasn't graduating.
Right.
It would have all been a grade later. Unless she was hitting on younger guys that were there with older, or whatever.
So we cut back to another shot of Buzz and Tony smoking cigars, and they're just talking about the good old days.
Basically, so much cigar smoke in this scene. Even the later scenes when they've been smoking the cigar longer, not just like the liver, like it looked like there was a fire. If you were out on the street, like it would look like the house was on fire.
And this is very one-sided for Tony reliving his glory days. So he's talking about like White Snake and Cyndi Lauper.
Well, yeah, because it's that stereotype of like, so Buzz is smoking the cigar. He's like, "What's with music these days?" And Tony's like, "You're right. Kids these days and their music. Cyndi Lauper. Now there's a musician."
Who Buzz in the 80s would have been like, "Fuck that. I want to listen to some fucking
I think that saxophone was the, music." That was the joke.
And they They do a call and response bit a couple more of these segments down, but right now it's just Tony doing it and Buzz sitting back like he looks blitzed.
Yeah.
Then we're back
Have you ever been much into cigar?
I've smoked cigars.
You smoke cigars. Yeah, I guess that's
why did you look around the corner like it was like.
Oh, no, that's just that it just pan left.
Oh, you did that. Like, oh, no, have you ever you ever been much into
cigars?
Have you ever
been into cigars?
Cigars? You ever smoke a cigar? Yes, I've smoked cigars. That's not really my jam.
Not me either. Do they generally make me sick?
Yeah, and if they don't really make me sick, it's more like a thing where, like, if somebody I got one gifted to me at my wedding, and I smoked it a year later.
Yeah,
I've smoked them primarily at weddings.
It's a very big time commitment.
Yep, it's take an hour and a half to smoke.
Yeah, full cigar. Yeah, it takes the length of a movie to smoke.
I smoked a cigar with my uncle one time. That was cool.
Yeah, and like in today's day and age, like you're not smoking cigars inside, like
no.
So you're like, I got to be outside for an hour and a half, while I smoke this thing, or like you put it out and start it up and put it out and start it up. Like it's, I don't get cigars.
Yeah.
For a brief time in my like late teens, early 20s, I was like, yeah, cigars, like I'm a badass. But
I went through a Swisher Sweets phase in my early 20s when they were still available, like when you could still buy like
flavor. Oh, those are the cigarillos? Like the
I liked grape. I like grape Swisher Sweets.
Yeah, like those like things 21. Are awesome. I never had that specific brand. I can't remember the brand that I used to smoke, but I had like the vanilla and the cherry ones, and like I would, when I was smoking cigarettes, I would occasionally get packs of those instead of cigarettes. And then I would have half of one instead of a cigarette.
Yeah. No, I agree. They don't really sell that kind of stuff anymore. Cigarettes just have like no name brand boxes now because smoking is fucking disgusting. I'm actually 3 weeks into quitting vaping.
Nice. I'm working on it. I'm almost out of juice. And I keep telling myself like, don't order more. Don't order more.
I had just bought a pack. I have an unopened pack of Juul pods that is like the heart under the floorboard and the telltale eye, the eye under the floorboard and the telltale eye.
By the way, like we've got to get moving on this. We have 3.5 minutes left.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So six is once the gangbang, three guys. Yeah. Sorry. Before that, Vinny and Blossom argue about Prince and some more. Then six is getting hit on by three guys. Ramondo sees that. He's like, fuck this.
He takes his glasses off and he's full on slick, like, he soap puts his opera face, star.
He puts his head in the punch bowl, slicks his hair back.
Slicks it back, and he is like the man meat that housewives would lust after in sitcoms. Like, just absolute gorgeous. Comes up to six and tangos the shit out of her,
and she knew all the dance moves.
But of course this is the typical prom episode. Like in a typical prom episode, there's always a dance where the rest of the school backs off the dance floor
and claps for them when they're done.
Exactly.
So Nick and Carol sneak out during this thing. They go and they make
by the way, after that dance we never see Ramondo again.
No,
they just dance and that's it.
Yeah, because he probably went back to Bolivia and killed himself. So they, because he had to go to Bolivia, because that place probably sucks. South America, right?
I'm pretty sure.
At any rate, they find a broom closet because Joey and his two girlfriends now, two dates.
Yeah, come Joey in. Walks in with two ladies. It's the advantage of going stag, I guess.
Well, I think that's the point. They were just like making out in the lobby and then they go into a broom closet. Joey sees her pulling her like clutch, her hand purse into the, it's like, oh, the kids today. So then we just go back to Tony and Buzz. Tony's just like, man, Van Halen. And that's the whole scene.
he's like, and that man's name was Eddie Van Halen. And then that's the end of the fucking scene.
Yeah.
So stupid. Like, why
then
did
we, then we go back
we didn't
to,
need the cigar scene
we didn't need that story that was time
we didn't
filler.
Need the storyline at all, but like exactly. That specific scene we could have done without. But anyway, Melanie shows up at
he's
prom.
Played by Marguerite C. Moreau, who was in
Dazed and Confused and Wet Hot American Summer.
She's part of that like group of people that's in everything that Michael Showalter and Michael Ian Black and those guys and David Wayne and those guys do. She always shows up in those things. So she's great.
She shows up. It goes very well. She's all like, I haven't talked to you in a while. And he's like, well, things were kind of awkward after that. After, you know, we did the stuff
together.
Well,
she thought she was taking advantage and Joey thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a miscommunication. And then he's like, can I kiss you? And she's like, fuck yeah. So happy ending for them.
Happy ending for them. That's my favorite part. Of the episode. I like that Melanie actually, because we talked a couple episodes ago about like what happened to that girl that
happened
to
Melanie?
Joey was in love with and he lost his virginity to. Well, here she is and things are working out.
If we didn't get Seven Deadly Sins or last week's episode, it would have made more sense when she showed up.
Yeah.
So then Blossom and Vinny are getting awarded prom king and queen. I'll never buy Blossom as prom queen. I'll never buy it. But anyway,
no, she's too weird.
She's too weird. She's too Lisa Simpson.
Yeah.
And then what happens is he was like, I was going to tell you this later, but I'm going to UCLA. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to Princeton. And everybody's like, oh. Yeah.
And she's like, what are you talking about? And the whole crowd is like, he's going to UCLA.
Yeah. Then we get a final scene with Tony and Buzz. He passes out from the cigar because it's too gross.
Yeah.
Is that the end? Anyway,
that is the end, but let's keep this going on a bit longer.
We got a last couple of thoughts to have.
I just wanted to mention, like, I never really understood prom queen and prom king. Like, at least in my high school experience, that wasn't a thing.
I didn't go to prom. I don't think that was even a thing.
We didn't have technically a prom. We just had a graduation dance, and there was no king or queen of that. It was just like, let's go have a dance. There was no awards. We went on a cruise and had a dinner and a dance, and then went to our after parties.
It's bleaked all over my keyboard. That's no good.
That is no good. But what my question is, like, so I mean, Blossom and Veneer voted prom king and queen, I guess, as a couple. But like, do you vote for queen and king as a couple? You don't vote like individually, because if you
I don't know, it depends as a couple, on the show, then it's because Vinny sometimes it's individual. Sometimes there's always that sitcom trope where it's like, oh, my boyfriend got elected king, and the queen is his ex-girlfriend. That happens on some sitcom that I think it might be like Saved by the Bell or something.
Probably. Yeah, I've seen different iterations of you've seen Carrie by Stephen King, right?
Yeah.
There's a thing where like they stuff the ballot box and they make one dude and Carrie the prom queen
blood on her and she does her psychic.
But like, they weren't a couple. So like that movie, like it, they depicted it as being voted independently.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. Such a weird thing is really my point, that prom queen and prom king is weird but if they're voted as a couple, it makes sense because Vinny is obviously like super cool and awesome. So like he got voted in and just took Blossom with him.
He's been held back. He's a couple years older too, I think. I think he's like 20 at this point.
Maybe. Anyway, drug watch, cigars.
Well, there were two little other things. Vinny and Blossom are all good. And then we find out they're like, where did Six and Raimundo go? And we get a shot of a Hummer driving, and Six is like, this Hummer is so cool. And Raimundo's like, let's go around the corner. Let's go around the city again. So they had a happy ending and probably fucking fingered her in the back of the Hummer.
Probably. Our dog has had some spinal issues lately, and the dog fell down the stairs right at the end of the episode. So I missed the last minute or two. I saw a Hummer. Fuck. She's fine. She's just okay. She's very clumsy, is all. Like, she's not, it's not injured. She just has like a weak spine and falls downstairs. And she, like, we got her on new drugs. So she, like, anti-inflammatories, that's helping. But now she feels better. And she's like, well, I can go on the stairs again. And she's like, I thought it was going to be way worse than it was. I was in the basement watching Blossom, and Pam was coming down, and the dog slid all the way down the fucking stairs. That's which awful. Sounded horrendous, but like, the dog was fine. It's just like, Pam was like, yeah, she just kind of like slid down on her belly. And I was really worried, but like, the dog was absolutely fine.
So I don't know how to segue, so I'm just going to keep talking about Blossom.
So
drug watch, cigars, no hats, whatever. That's not a thing anymore. My opinion.
There's been worse prom episodes. Than
watching it. Yeah, there's been worse prom episodes, but it wasn't a great prom episode. And
it wasn't great, but like, I would like to point out that I liked the Melanie showing up at the end. I did not see that happening. Even and though I like maybe should have when Tony brought her up at the beginning of the episode.
I like it when actors show up who go on to be like stay in acting. So
I love that. Recognize. I love watching old shows and just seeing someone make a cameo that's like, well, like, I guess David Schwimmer is a good example of just like him on Blossom or him on Wonder Years. Like, he just got bit parts right before he blew up on like the biggest sitcom of the 90s. Yeah. Second biggest sitcom of the 90s.
I happen to hate David Schwimmer. I just watched the movie 6 Days and 7 Nights with Anne Heche and
I won't watch any movie with him in it.
But he there was like also
Breast Men with him.
That, I liked Breast Men when I was a kid, but I think it's because there were just so many titties in it.
Yeah.
But in 6 Days, 7 Nights, he plays the obnoxious boyfriend of Anne Heche.
Yeah.
And he's not like that dickhole character, who Greg Kinnear usually plays, like where he's like obviously the bad guy boyfriend, but he's just chewing the scenery. Like, I think David Schwimmer is a bad actor.
He's not great.
It makes sense when he's young and he plays Sonny on Blossom. That makes sense. But at this point, this movie came out in 1998.
But I mean, he also was a terrible actor on Blossom. Like, he had that terrible accent.
Yeah, I know. But it makes more sense because it was like his first role. At any rate, David Schwimmer sucks. If you like David Schwimmer,
sucks.
And if you know David Schwimmer, tell him I said that. Tell him
we both said that.
Where have you been, David Schwimmer, since Friends ended?
The only time I liked him on Friends was, I think it was the last season. So he had, I think they were like, he and Rachel were broken up before they got together again in the finale. But Rachel, they had the baby together, and Rachel shows up with some new date, and he was just hosting them and like serving them like hors d'oeuvres, and just screams, "I'm fine." That was comic gold. The rest of the show, other than that 5 seconds, terrible. Could have been anyone else, but I think he nailed screaming, "I'm fine."
Fuck off, David.
Because I think what made it better was that the name of that episode is the one where Ross is fine, because he's not fine. He's going crazy the whole episode.
Well, speaking of episodes ending and shows ending, this has been Blossom Buddies. We have one more episode in the season that we're going to take a little breaky break. Thank you for listening if you got this far. Yeah. I really just want Blossom to be over so me and Craig can take our vocal stylings to something we care about. I'm glad that we have all these episodes under our belt, because nobody can deny that we're not podcasting.
I want to half-ass it, but I don't want to half-ass it. Like, exactly. I just want to roll through and get over with it, but like, for people who are still listening, like, we owe it to you to continue talking.
And as a whole, I'd like this show to have some consistency, and I think we've kept the consistency of explaining the episode.
Yeah, I think
cutting it down to 30 minutes, best thing we ever did. Turning some episodes into 15 minutes, like when they're nonsense.
Oh, clip shows got to be 15 minutes. Yeah.
Or if it's just the worst episode, like, or some of those Blossom in Paris episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. I really wish we had done like Blossom. We had, I guess, sat down and watched all 4 episodes and talked about it as just one whole. Might have been a good idea. It might have been a longer Blossom Buddies episode, but it would have been shorter than 4 separate Blossom Buddies episodes.
Wouldn't have been 4 weeks of Blossom.
Yeah.
In Paris.
And like going back to like season 1 or 2 when they had those like VHS memory episodes, like those didn't need to be as long as they were.
No.
Anyhow, we've been the Blossom Buddies.
Have a good one.
Bye.